It's been a while since I've been wired up.
Amen.
So today we're going to share the good news, and the good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As we said earlier, it's not in condemnation. It's not fake. It's real. It's living. The choice is if one will receive. Now I'm Tom, by the way. I'm not normally here. Grace made the where is Grace? What did she say? I'm the. She disappeared. She made an alluded to me as being the not different, unusual pastor. I am. And as Carol and I have been around, I found out how true that is, because there's people that don't know Jesus. And there's people preaching in churches that don't know Jesus. They don't have a personal relationship. So they talk about the man. They talk about God. They talk about theology. But when you come across and have an experience of Jesus Christ, so as being as unusual as I am.
We love it, Tom.
So just a little change on how we abnormally do things here. Because Mary asked the question if I was prepared, and I said yes, but... When I came up to the pulpit this morning, Rick normally has notes. He has there, something there. All this stuff is mine. There is nothing here as a clean slate, and that rang so true in my spirit. Slate's clean. And I had prayed, I want to hear from you, Lord. And Mary says, are you open to the Holy Spirit? Yes. So, the good news of this gospel is Jesus was manifest so he can destroy the works of the devil. Anyone was previously unsaved before that, right? So, destroy the works of the devil. So, I just want to let you know what this is. That was a representation of the chains of my bondage. And Stephen has a name to it. It's grade 43, log and chain with hooks. I was a bad quitter. So, unknowingly, I mean, this is sin. And people really don't see the bonds of sin. See a nice little package. I need that. I want that. Spirit's telling you no. It's the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. But guess what? Somehow we get entangled with the chains of our sin. Good news is that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So this is all fun and dandy, you know, you're having fun, you're doing the things you want to do. I can speak from personal experience, but something happens along that way. That hook, you don't even know about it. You're hooked. That sin hooks you. And you're going along your life. Life is fine. Jesse, would you like to? Then one day, the devil comes to collect. Right? In the chain, I'm bound to my sin. Right? Wages of sin or death. Grade 43 logging. Chain. I'm not going to break that. I can fight. The devil's pulling me in. I have people that told me they sold their souls to the devil. Written contracts. In blood. With their own blood. That they sold their souls to Satan. It's the blood of Jesus. That breaks every chain. Every bondage. That's the good news.
That's right.
The good news we have is that we've been saved from this. I couldn't get out of this. And the devil came to collect my soul. I thought the devil was my friend. I did everything I wanted to do in the flesh. Everything. And that's how I was being rewarded. But that chain was strangling me. I didn't even see it. And I didn't care. When it came to take my life, I couldn't break this. And the more I resisted, the devil would he'd just have to stay there. The weight of this chain is heavy. And so finally, on that day, having a conversation with the devil, and I'm hooked up with him, there's nothing to break that. So I fell to my knees. And I was on a rooftop of my building. And said, God, that was me. I did all this. What am I supposed to do? I asked for forgiveness. I repented. And he said, take care of the church. And that was the first time you saw Carol and I here together all those years ago. It's over 20 years ago. So that was before I saved. And now, chains are broken, his hooks are gone. I have a new life. I have freedom. Go back to my other scripture. Because now this is New Testament. Okay, so I think it's Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, seeing that we are also encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race. Ooh, look at that. Let us run with patience with the race up before us. Does sin still abound? Yep. It's not part of our nature anymore once we receive Jesus Christ, but it can easily beset us. The word which I didn't share with Mary was, I asked the Lord, it says, why isn't the fullness of Jesus Christ sufficient for my life? Usually I'm asking for prayer. This was my heart crying out to him. Why am I being tempted? Why am I being discouraged? Why isn't your hope and promise of eternal life enough? The fullness enough for me? And the answer was, he peels away. I'm still in the flesh. I get hurt. And that was the bottom line. I got hurt. Betrayed. That wound went deep. So how do I respond? The way I usually would have responded, in the flesh. And this hook tried to come back. But it can't. It can't if I allow it. So I went back to the Word. And the Word is that we'll have these afflictions. These afflictions are light. And when you're going through them, when I'm going through them, this is not light, Lord. This hurts. Who is there all the time for me? Besides Carol? Jesus. The people who I thought would come to my side. Nope. They're doing the politically correct thing. We love you, brother, but I heard nothing but buts. And it's like, so you're allowing unrighteousness, evil, to prevail over goodness because it's politically correct. So that chain wants to come back. The affliction hurts. But God's training me. Patience. Pray for those who persecute you. And that's hard when you're being afflicted. Do I believe that?
Oh.
That's what your word says. You experience it. You go through it. And you learn to pray for those who betray you, who persecute you. And our affliction is light. If you continue out that scripture in Romans, oh, it's Colossians, and I will come back to that later. It's for our own good. And I've been here all these years hearing the testimonies of how horrible the workplace is and the negative things happen and all, we're being persecuted. And saying, it's a training program. It's a training. The people Jesus came to save murdered him and crucified him. And on the cross he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So when we go through our afflictions, we're on that cross. So what has happened is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't. And the burden of the Lord comes upon me so heavy. They're facing eternal separation and death. And just as I was bound up in chains, they're bound up in their chains. Chains of pride, chains of disbelief, chains of unbelief, fear. That's probably the biggest chain there is the chain of fear. How can this all be true? How can the goodness of God be that good when there's so much evil in the world? And that chain binds people from coming into the kingdom. They hear it. They want to believe it. And when they come forward and to receive Christ and want to live that lifestyle, the devil's, no, that's not true. And he holds them in fear. So, the good news. Jesus Christ was manifest to destroy the works of the enemy. He did that. Our part is to preach it, to live it, give hope to others, so they can have that same revelation. Because when you have that experience of what Jesus Christ did for you in your life, it changes not only you, your family, your community, workplace. And that's the change that happens. It can't be legislated as much as the government thinks it can. It's that experience of knowing what you are bound to and what you can be free to. So my prayer for the community is that the Holy Spirit would pierce the darkness and the blindness and the deafness of people who are perishing. Because the gospel says the gospel is foolish to those who are perishing. That's your word, Lord. But my prayer is your word also says that you're long-suffering, that no man perish but come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. So in our lives, when we go through affliction, when we're being betrayed, and we don't know where to go or who to trust, we trust in you, Jesus. And let the world see our love for those who persecute us, who betray us, who mock us, who mock Jesus, and that the strength that you give us to go through it another day to change those hearts. Because they go through the same afflictions. They're being afflicted by the devil. The word says that the tenderness of the enemy is sweet cruelty. And they're blinded to that. So they're blinded by addiction, fear, alcoholism, broken homes. And they're rejoicing in that. Like, oh, this is great. And they despise your children because you've given us the keys of the kingdom. You've given us all authority. You've given us your authority to do kingdom work here on earth. So I pray for those people that can't hear or won't see, that today the Holy Spirit will prick them, that there is a better way. And for those coming through Chester and past this building or any Bible-believing and preaching church, that out of their mouth say, this is God's country. And let them have a revelation of your kingdom, God. Turn their hearts to the Father, and you turn your heart to them. That is the good news. That is the good news. So I open up the floor for your testimonies of God's goodness in your lives this week. You're staring at me. I have two angels. But I don't have a bad angel and a good angel. I just have two good angels on my shoulders. You want to say something? Okay. Oh, yes, I would. Come on.
So what is that? My week?
Yeah.
Well, it was long.
Well, no. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
And the reason why, like that, I'm going to build up Jesse for a moment.
Good morning.
It was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Rick and I were going to go to India. I wanted to go to India. I wasn't ever prompted to go to India. Not that time. I wanted to go. Everything came in. All the money. Everything was too easy. I wasn't prompted to go to India. And it got closer and closer to that day to go to the to get the visas. And Rick said, Jesse was here at Bible study. I said, yeah. He goes, Jesse. Oh, wait a minute. You're supposed to be speaking. He said, Jesse said he'd like to go to India. Here you go. Here's the tickets. So you got to see the family that your grandfather.
I did.
Yeah. So I don't want to.
It was very nice. I was very thankful for that opportunity. Pastor Sherrard and his family were very kind and loving. I've never seen these people. I've never met these people. I've never even spoken to them. I knew they existed, but that was about it. And I remember the day Rick asked me to go with him. I was very thankful. My schedule was flexible at that moment in time. So I wasn't in nursing school. I was able to get 2 weeks off of work. And it's just everything fell into place. It was really nice. I was very thankful. I remember Rick was telling me the story how my grandfather used to know Pastor Sherrard, or he didn't know, he used to, they used to be pen pals, was it?
Yep.
Used to be pen pals, and Was it through the Full Gospel Businessmen's International?
The church. At first.
Was it somebody mailed my grandfather a letter saying there was a young man who's trying to go through Bible college who didn't have any funds and would ask if he would be willing to help him out? And my grandfather said yes. He paid for his education and Pastor Schrod. And Pastor Schrod went through it, and I believe years later, did he pay for his children's education as well?
Their wedding. When they
first got married. Oh, I didn't know that. And their wedding. So,
bought their wedding ring?
Oh, he bought their wedding ring. I had no idea.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. I guess Schrod was very thankful and always wanted. Was it they named their children after Ruth? Ruth.
All the children were named by your grandfather and Ruth.
Yeah, it was my grandparents named all their children. So, Pastor Schrod and his family are very thankful. I always wanted to meet my grandfather. But I don't know why they couldn't meet in the past. Just things didn't work out it just never worked out. My grandfather got older where traveling was no longer possible. And Schrod was also getting up there in years. And when Rick asked me if I'd be willing to come over, Schrod said he would like to meet me, and I said yes. I would like to. I'd be willing for an adventure. And they brought me over there, and it was just I was really surprised how big their house was. I've never been to India. I know it's a third world country, but I was really surprised. They have a very beautiful house, very clean one, very clean. And I thought we were going to live like in a jungle somewhere. I was down for anything.
You were spoiled.
Yeah, I thought we were going to live in a tent in a hole somewhere. I'm like, I'm actually okay with that. And I showed up to this house that was clean with food and water. And I'm like, this is better than my house. it was really nice. Yeah, it's a good way to put it. I was definitely spoiled. It was, I thought it was like an apartment complex. And like, no, it's our house. And I'm like, the whole thing? They go, yeah. I'm like, it's a big house. It's really nice. And I didn't realize their ceilings were really high in every room. And somebody explained to me that over there in India, they have like a room clearance. Their ceiling can't be less than what was it, 9 feet or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Probably because of the heat.
Yeah, the heat distribution. So everywhere we went, it was really nice. It was beautiful. And yeah, I was really surprised to see they had a huge family, and they all lived together. So, like, his daughter, I want to say their oldest, their second oldest, the one that married.
Joy.
Joy. Yeah. Yeah, so Joy and Dom is their husband. They live in the next level up. And the entire family, they all live under one roof. So it was like two or three generations all in one roof. And they all come down to have dinner together. They all come down to have dinner. They all have their own rooms, but they all come down to have dinner together. It was so nice to see. So nice to see. It was so beautiful. It made me wonder, why doesn't my family do that? Yeah. It's just not a thing anymore. I don't know. But I remember sitting down at Schrod's table. And it was like, I've never met these people before. Never seen them, never heard of them. And it was like I was one of the family. It was so nice. It was like no introductions were needed. I just walked in the room, sat down, started eating with them. And it was very beautiful, very nice, very loving family. And he was very thankful to meet me, and I was very thankful to meet him. And it was very nice. It was very nice, very strong Christian family. And every single one of them has roots in Christ, and without question, there was no like facade or persona. You know, they're all open. They love Christ, and it was very, very neat to see the dynamics of this family. And it was like the whole family was like a giant ministry. It was interesting. They all worked together. I've never seen anything like that. Like, you know, here in America, like. You know, you have families and you have people in the families, and they all have like their identities and they do their own thing. But very rarely do you see a family that like come together to perform a common task. And like I saw that there at Schrod's house. It was very nice. Mm-hmm. Everyone just they all worked together. Was it the school that they have there?
Dominic has a school.
Yeah, the school. Near Sheikah?
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah. And they run a school, a Christian school for like kids to like teach them about Christ and whatnot. And I believe they all work there, don't they?
Most of them. Yes.
Most of them. Yeah. They work there and they work with the kids. And I thought it was neat to see that they could just come together and talk about any problems that they faced, and they could like openly discuss it, you know, without any fear of like hurting anyone's feelings. And it was just really neat to see how these people communicated, and it was nice. It was very beautiful, very beautiful. Made me wonder why I didn't see any of that back home. You know, why I don't see that here. You know, and sometimes I wish that I wish things could be a little more simpler like that. I remember sitting at Sherrod's table, was like, man, just the way they talk, it was just very simple. Very simple, not very complicated. And it was just very nice. Very nice. It was, it was a good environment. Good, strong Christian environment. Something I didn't expect going over there. And, it was beautiful. So, and, I was very thankful. Very thankful. And I hope they're all doing well. I talk to Ruth as often as I can.
You can, okay.
Yeah, we talk on Facebook. So, yeah, they were good people. So, yeah. I believe so.
Thank you, Jesse.
So, which brings us back to the scriptures. Oh.
Yes. May I?
Yes.
May I mention something?
Yeah.
Yesterday I was reading my daily Bible.
Why don't you hold that?
And, oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yesterday I was reading my daily Bible. It was John and the Lord Jesus Christ teaching again the people, and the Pharisees is tempting him again. And they are asking about the marriage, how that's going to be in heaven. You know, who has how many wife, and the Lord says, Moses has a rule for that, and he says, and they says, yes, and we can let go the people, let go the man, or let go the woman. And so the Lord is explaining what the God made together, you cannot open it, because you became one body when you are marrying. You cannot open that. You cannot send it away. It's a sinful, so you cannot do that. Anyway, the truth is I was going through, and I think about it, and I was thinking about my life, and what I was recognized, I never was happy. Never. Until I didn't get Jesus. When I get Jesus, I was flying. I saw the light, and I was taking my hand, and I wanted to fly when I saw the light. I thought it's a sunbeam, but no, it wasn't. I just prayed, and I, holding my hand, I'm gonna fly. And I finished it, and I turning away, and there was a sun, and the sun was black. I said, whoa, I saw the light. Whoo, I am so happy. Since that, I am flying, and I am happy, and I am very happy, no matter it's hard, no matter there is a chain, I don't feel it. Before, it was heavy. I felt it all the time. But no, I don't feel the chain. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was the reason why Jesus was manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. Yes. So what happened with Pastor Sherrod is, I hope this is not a repeat. There was a young man in prison, and ministry went, and he started the pen pal relationship. And this evangelist gave this boy a scripture, and that boy, he lived on that scripture all his days in prison. He gets out of prison and he meets Pastor Sherrod. And they're going to go to a street corner ministry, and Sherrod doesn't want to go. Sherrod was in Bollywood. He was a movie star.
Well, he's in the movies, and a movie star. He was in the movies. And this boy, they're in seminary, and they go to the, Sherrod doesn't want to go to the ministry here, the street evangelist. The scripture that man had spoken was the same scripture that this boy has been holding on to in prison. It's in his shirt pocket. It's confirmation. And I forget what the scripture was. Pastor Sherrod was on his way to commit suicide. Grade 43 logging chain with hooks. He had nothing to live for. The devil was pulling in his soul. As he went by, the evangelist goes, "Sherrod, where are you going?" Sherrod was embarrassed to say, "I'm going to commit suicide." Sherrod did not commit suicide. Next day, they go back, and Sherrod gave his heart to Jesus and started the relationship of coming to know Christ, coming to know your grandfather. Ruth and your dad, grandfather, named Sherrod's kids, and now they're doing ministry. And you got to be partakers of that family. We're all connected. Wherever I go and do ministry with Christians, we're welcome. It's a wonderful feeling. It is. It works. And they don't even know me. I don't know your name.
Kevin.
Kevin, I'm Tom. Pleased to have you here today. And you can be real and honest because it's the light of Jesus Christ that shines through. But years ago, what the devil meant to destroy, a life, Pastor Sherrod, has turned into almost a 50-year, well, a tapestry of lives being connected through ministry. And I'm so honored that Jesse had a chance. And I could have been a selfish person. See, it's never about our lives when it comes to coming to Christ. It's the seed, what we plant. I could have kept that money and said no. But the need was for Jesse to go that year. And that's what I heard from the Holy Spirit. It was Jesse's turn to go. And he said, "That's not a betrayal. It's just my life is my life, but what's the offspring afterwards? What's the testimony of my life? How am I, not how I'm going to be reminded, but that day in heaven, it'd be a couple of generations down the road and say, you spoke to Jesse, my grandfather, and you got him to go to India, and the kids that you don't even have yet, I will see in heaven, giving a testimony of how your life was impacted. And that's the good news. To see everyone in heaven and to see who people here who don't have any inkling of Jesus Christ, that our life is the light that they see. They see Christ through us. So like I said, when we go through the afflictions and the tribulations, there is a way out, and it's Jesus. And he strengthens us and he shows us the way out. And the more we fight, I mean, this could be the other thing. So many times, not, I shouldn't say that. Sorry, Lord. I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. Right? I think we have those moments. And one day it happened. Rick had a conversation with me, and that was no. And then I went into a prayer, my prayer walk, and it said, "Tom, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't leave him. I'm his prisoner. But it's for the right reasons I'm his prisoner. And he loves me. And I might think I'm the biggest screw-up and put myself in condemnation. He knows my nature. He knows my frailty. He loves me. He's given me, he's given each of us an assignment to love and to show the world his nature. And we call upon his name, he gives us the strength. He already has given us his written word of how it's to go. And that could be, you could take that as theology. When you walk it and you go through and you get scarred, okay? Is that scar going to hold me back from loving the next time this happens? Shouldn't. But until you have that experience, to walk it out. So I'd rather change these chains of bondage to the Satan and the devil and lust and the pride of the world for the loving change of Jesus Christ that nothing can break. It says, I can even make my bed in hell and he will be there. So, a word of encouragement. Don't beat yourself up. If you miss an opportunity and you know it, say, sorry, Lord. Give me another one. Please give me another chance. Am I weak in an area? Because sometimes we can't see in the mirror our deficiencies and things aren't going the way you think they should go. And first question, should I even be doing this, Lord? That's a simple answer. If the Lord will answer you, yes or no. What am I lacking? And don't be surprised if it's like trust. You don't trust me. Or you say you worship me, but your eyes are over here. But that's not to knock us. That's just we're asking, and he's going to hone us in and refine us so we're more in the image and likeness of his son Jesus. And the closer we get, you'll see changes. And for me, I just want to get out and run. And since we have the farm, he said, be in rest. I don't know how to rest. I really don't. And I stepped into something I shouldn't have stepped into. And I apologized to the Lord. And I said, Lord, if it ever happens, if I can get back into your rest, I want to guard that. Well, I'm back in that rest. And now he's exposed more of my nature, a compulsiveness. I want to do something. It's not my time. And he's already told me that. He's already foretold me things that are going to happen. And it can't happen, Lord. And it did. So I can't blame the Lord. I can blame myself. Because I heard, but I didn't hear. So that's to edify the body. Please do not beat yourself up. That's just a trick of the enemy. You're precious in God's sight. You are. And this is a place that we can share that and to share our aspirations and to come together as one. And Jesse, you'll have plenty to eat in an hour. Okay? So, additional testimonies. Priscilla.
As you were taking that chain out, I was thinking how shiny that was and how Satan wants us to see all these shiny links, each one representing something that he says, it's okay, you can do that. You know, and that chain can go as long as you want. It's always attached to the other end. And it also came out of a very dark black bag, which was not good. But one thought in your mind that tells you this is not right and come to God, all those links all at one time are gone. And then what a wonderful thing that is.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Michelle. Anybody else like to share?